This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. I want us to continue from where we left off in our last meeting together. We were looking at the correlation between sin and sickness or problems in our lives. Let's take a few minutes to review so that we remain in context and all of us are on the same page. Like it or not, there is a direct correlation between sin and sickness, not just physical sickness, but also sickness of the spirit and soul. According to Exodus or Shemot 15, verse 26, and the scriptures that we studied earlier, God is as active in wounding as he is in healing. Let me read this passage so we can again have a starting point for this session. And he said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer." Did you note the statement, "I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians"? Now, I imagine at this moment you're wondering if I'm saying that all sickness is due to sin. I want to respond in two ways, so hear me carefully. First, if man had not sinned originally, there would be no sickness. So in that sense, all sickness is due to sin. However, I do not believe that all physical or emotional illness is a consequence of personal sin. I believe that some illnesses have other causes. Let me share a few scriptures that can throw some biblical light on this issue. As I read each scripture, note what you learn about sickness, especially in regard to sin. Is sickness always due to personal sin? Did sin cause the sickness? If so, whose sin? If you would like to use our worksheets to do this, you can download them free and other study aids from our website, sectim.org. 1 Chronicles 21 verses 10 through 14 read, "David said to God, 'I have sinned greatly in that I have done this thing, but now please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly.' The Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, 'Go and speak to David, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose for yourself one of them which I will do to you.' So Gad came to David and said to him, 'Thus saith the Lord, take for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be swept away before your foes, while the sword of your enemies overtake you, or else 3 days of the sword of the Lord, even pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now, therefore, consider what answer I shall return to him who sent me.' David said to Gad, 'I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man.' So the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel. 70,000 men of Israel fell." This is a result of David's sin against God. He had determined to number Israel outside of God's will. God sent natural disasters. The next passage I want to read is taken from Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. "Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe because of the Cushite woman who he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, 'Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moshe? Has he not spoken through us as well?' And the Lord heard it. Now the man, Moshe, was very humble. more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moshe and Aaron and to Miriam, "You three, come out to the tent of meeting." So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent. And he called Aaron and Miriam. When they had both come forward, he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moshe. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly, and not in dark sayings, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moshe?" So the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. But when the cloud had withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. As Aaron turned toward Miriam, behold, she was leprous. Miriam had spoken against Moshe, disobedience and rebellion, and physical illness came upon her. In Psalms 38, verses 1 through 3, we read, "O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath, and chasten me not in your burning anger. For your arrows have sunk deep into me, and your hand has pressed down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin." We see that God's rebuke can bring about weariness, anguish, heavy burdens, all because of our iniquities. In Isaiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6 tells us, "Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from him. Where will you be stricken again as they continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint, from the sole of the foot even to the head. There is nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged, nor softened with oil." We see that here that sickness came because of the disobedience of the nation. In John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, "As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth, and his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?' Yeshua answered him, 'It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him.'" We see from this that God may be glorified in the midst of the situation, yes, even in the midst of illness. In John chapter 5, verses 5 through 8, we read, "A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Yeshua saw him lying there, and he knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, 'Do you wish to get well?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me.' Yeshua said to him, 'Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk.'" In that same chapter, verse 14, we find, "Afterward, Yeshua found him in the temple and said to him, 'Behold, you have become well. Do not sin any more, so that nothing worse happens to you.'" Sin had brought about the lame man's sickness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 32, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are awake and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. We see in these verses that unworthiness, guilt, lies, and deceit can all bring about illnesses. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 through 30, we read, "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. We also see that being overworked or burdened can make us ill." In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 22 through 25, we read, "Do not lay hands on anyone too hastily, and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin. No longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. The sins of some men are quite evident, going before them to judgment. For others, their sins follow after. Likewise also, deeds that are good are quite evident, and those which are otherwise cannot be concealed." Rabbi Shaul is telling his son in the faith to not be part of any person's sin. Now, this can either be through omission as well as commission. And then our final verse is in James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. "Is any suffering among you? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of our Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." We need to ask God to show us the sins, disobedience, rebellion, or anything else in our life that does not align with His Word. Now, remember Psalms? Confessing faults directly related to sickness and praying for the sick. Remember one of the verses in Psalms that we have been studying? It's Psalms 139, verse 23. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting life." I want to read this verse in a different translation. I think this might make a difference in the way we look at not only the verse, but how it really applies to our lives. I'm going to read it again, this time from the New Living Translation. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Did you hear what David just asked God to do? The psalmist was asking God to search his heart, reveal any anxious thoughts. Now, this is a really interesting statement. Anxious thoughts or anxiety is defined as causing anxiety, troubled thoughts, anxious thoughts, the processing of information which causes distress and anxiety in one's mind and heart. David welcomed the continuance of the piercing scrutiny with which God had examined him. He wanted any wicked way which might be detected to be exposed. He wants God to lead him in the everlasting life, a way of life. as opposed to the way of ruin and death. He seems to perceive that such a way must lead on to a fuller life after death, as well as a more abundant life in the here and now. The demand is not the challenge of a confident and vain man, conscious of his own purity, but it is a prayer for divine help and illumination, for the proving of the conscience and the searching of the soul. We need to do the same thing. Do we ask God to search our hearts and see if there be anything that is wicked, disobedient, rebellious, or displeasing to God in our hearts, our motives, or our actions? We now come to a word that most of us either don't really hear or that we don't understand. Did you hear it? I'm going to read these two verses again. Now, listen very carefully to what David is asking God to do. I have a hint for you. There are five verbs in these two passages that apply to God. Listen carefully for them. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. David is asking God to search his heart, to know his heart. Now, according to Webster, this know is to perceive with certainty, to understand clearly, to have a clear and certain perception of truth, fact, or anything that actually exists. David also asked God to test me. Those are the secret words. Test me. The psalmist is asking God to put him to the test, to put him to the test to see if in fact there is any anxious thoughts, or as Young's literal translation states, any grievous thoughts, or thoughts that are out of place, unbecoming, or not befitting. By this term, we see that God is searching our heart, not for anything that causes us anxiety, which denotes not depending on God to meet our needs, but also searching our motives and the deep issues of our thoughts. Are we holding a grudge against anyone? Are we harboring anger? Are we jealous? Are we holding bitterness or judgment against anyone? Anything that does not come into alignment with God's word is sin. If we ask God to test us, He's going to do just that. He's going to bring about a situation that will cause us to identify our areas of weakness and then choose to do what is the righteous thing to do. David was basically giving God permission, or asking Him to prove Him, to see what His heart, His thoughts, and His motives were really like. When my son was young, he was very active, and because of that, very accident prone. I spent a lot of time asking God to give me patience. A dear mother in the Lord shared with me something I will never forget. When I pray for patience, God is going to give me every opportunity to display that patience. So basically, just like David when he asked the Lord to test him, he was giving God permission to give him opportunities to prove that he indeed had patience. We each need to spend time meditating on the insights we just received into why so many are hurt, wounded, and in despair. Whether the illness is physical, emotional, or spiritual, a person should first seek healing from Jehovah Rapha. 2 Chronicles 16:12 says, "And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. His disease was severe, yet even in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physician." Whether it is the illness of a nation or of a single human being, you have seen that our need for healing can be the result of sin of a people, a leader, or an individual. It is God who heals land, pestilences, wars, bodies, emotions, souls, and spirits, Oh, he may and often does use us as his instruments of healing. Yet the instrument is powerless without the physician's power. Therefore, at the risk of seeming redundant, let me say again, whenever you need healing, first consult Jehovah Rapha. Second, explore whether sin is the cause of the problem. Do you remember we said that we must admit our need for healing of spirit, soul, or body, and that until we do, there can really be no healing? Sin affects our spirits, and the spirit can cause sickness of our emotions and our bodies. David wrote in Psalms 38:18, "For I confess my iniquity, I am full of anxiety because of my sin." Yet, sin may not always be the cause of the problem. In fact, personal sin may not even be a contributing factor. However, we should pray, as David did in Psalms 139:23-24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." If, after asking God to search our hearts and being open when he reveals sin, we must deal with it thoroughly. Not to do so can stay the healing hand of God and even bring about further illness. As we read in Proverbs 28:13-14, now listen carefully to what the writer is telling us. "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. How blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity." God always meets us at the point of our obedience. There he comes over to our side. We read in Psalms 103:3 that it is he who pardons all your iniquities and who heals all our diseases. Did you notice that in the psalm I just read, that pardons all our iniquities comes before heals all your diseases? First, we need to identify if there is unconfessed sin in our lives. That includes asking God to show us if there is any that we are not aware of that we've even forgotten about. Then we can go to 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Knowing that our God, Jehovah Rapha, will not only forgive, but he will also cleanse us from every unrighteousness. Sometimes it helps when we are in the middle of a situation and our minds want to think and dwell on our own thoughts. It helps to write a verse that speaks to you and to keep it with you. When you begin to doubt, to fear, and to worry, remember Jeremiah 17:14. "Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for thou art my praise." Let's end our study on Jehovah Rapha with a few questions and some very precious scripture. Do you fear or reverence your God as Jehovah Rapha? Have you realized that the one who heals is also the one who must judge sin, even in the life of a child of God who will not judge it himself? In Malachi 4:2, we read, "But you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall." When you counsel others, do you take them to Jehovah Rapha, or do you try to heal them in your own strength or wisdom? Remember, Jeremiah 17:14 tells us that we should cry out, "Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are my praise." Why would you ever try to heal them in your own strength or from your own wisdom? Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.